Welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast, the photo imaging industry's leading news source. Here's your host, Gary Peugeot.
The Dead Pixel Society podcast is brought to you by Media Clip, Advertech Printing, and Independent Photo Imagers.
Hello again and welcome to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. I'm your host, Gary Peugeot, and today we're joined by Rachel Arbuckle, the founder and CEO of 2000 Paces Photo Organizing, and she's way over there in San Diego, California. Hi, Rachel. How are you today?
I'm excellent, Gary. Thanks so much for having me.
So who the heck is 2000 Paces Photo Organizing?
2000 paces in ancient times actually represented a day's journey. And that's where the 2000 paces comes from. We're trying to capture our clients' journeys. Okay. Everybody's journey looks different from the inception of the inventory they bring us to the story that we're trying to preserve and capture to the way that they want to enjoy their photos.
You didn't start in the photo organizing business. Like almost everybody I've talked to in the photo organizing business who'd gotten into it as a business, something happened where they said, oh my gosh, my photo history is super important. I need to help other people preserve their history as well. What was your impetus for getting into the business?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. As far as I know, there's no degree out there for photo organizing, although I would argue there probably should be. So my history is sort of my journey. I was in the military. Right after high school, I was a Navy corpsman for 6 years, put myself through undergrad and grad school. Both my degrees are in the geography department in geographic information systems. So marrying technology with kind of trying to solve puzzles has always been something of interest to me, but clearly very different than what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. I worked for some environmental consulting firms. I worked for Sandag, a couple big government corporations, and decided that I wasn't really enjoying that. And I went off and worked in wealth management on the sales and marketing side. And then that brings us to 2014 in San Diego. Of course, there's fires. And now apparently there's tornadoes and hurricanes and floods. But at the time, we only had fires to battle. And so I've been evacuated multiple times from a fire. And typically, we have a lot of time to gather our things. And, you know, they give us some warning. But this particular fire started 100 yards from my home.
And ooh, what was the cause of it?
It was arson. A teenager apparently was bored and decided to light a tree on fire.
Wow.
And so devastating because although we did not thankfully lose our home, there were other people in our community who did. And this was an outrageously intense fire. And my neighbor knocked on the door and just pointed to the fire. And I looked over, and this is before the fire trucks had come because it was so close. So we just grabbed what we could, you know, obviously family, pets, et cetera, and left. I grabbed a couple scrapbooks because I was doing that at the time, a couple computers. But that was it. Mm-hmm. And I stood at the bottom of the hill looking up, and I have photos of my husband and I looking up. And all I could think about was my grandfather's World War II memorabilia that somehow I had inherited, right? And my children's artwork from preschool and elementary school and photos of my parents and all these things that were all over the house. Some of them were framed on the walls. Some of them were in boxes and envelopes. And
one of a kind, right? I mean, irreplaceable.
It's absolutely irreplaceable. It's absolutely irreplaceable. Everything else in the house could have been replaced, but this couldn't. And I had a pit in my stomach, Gary. I can't even explain. To this day, I get chills thinking about it because I was so worried. And I looked over at my husband and I said, if our home and our photos survive, we need to figure out a way to protect them because I can't go through this horrible feeling again.
Right.
We had some smoke damage, but overall everything survived. And I started looking into options for preserving our photos and quite honestly didn't find anything that I thought our photos deserved. Mm-hmm. So I decided to create a solution and I quit my corporate job and started 2000 Paces Photo Organizing.
Well, you know, back then there were some resources, right? I mean, there's some online resources. I think the photo organizing profession, I guess, is what it's called now, the Associated Professional Photo Organizers. It was out there, right? But I definitely want to touch on that because you're very involved with that group, which is now the Photo managers. But what made you decide it was a business, I guess, is the part I get to. Because, I mean, there are certain people, you know, see a need for something. And, you know, if you need to lose a few pounds, you start working out. Doesn't necessarily mean you want to open a gym.
That's right.
So what was the business case for doing this?
Yeah, gosh, that's a great question.
And did you have one is the question.
Yeah. Did I have
a business case, right?
So many questions that were swirling around in my mind at the time. I mean, obviously I didn't start looking into it thinking I'd create a business. That I was, you know, doing the corporate job. I was doing the 9 to 5. I wasn't thrilled with what I was doing. I wasn't passionate about it, but I was successful and, you know, we were doing our thing. And I think it was the emotions that impacted me so much at the risk of possibly losing our photos that when I started looking into options, there a few things struck me. First of all, it was very confusing. There were so many different options out there. I was overwhelmed.
What do you mean by options? You mean like places to get your stuff digitized or?
Yeah, places to get it digitized or processes that people recommend or online storage. There were just so many different options and for everything. And there were so many, I don't know if I'd even call them options, but just possibilities that right. I didn't feel like there was anybody or any solution out there that was saying, this is what you should do for your situation, because I recognize that, you know, my situation and my goal might be different from, you know, somebody else up the street. And so I was so overwhelmed by that. I started obviously just trying to preserve my own photos. And I thought, well, do I ship them out to get them digitized? When I do ship them out, are they going to organize them? Mm-hmm. What if they don't name them? What's going to happen when they come back? What is DPI? What is resolution? Why is that important? And then when I get them back, where am I going to store them? And, oh, I'm reading that I can't put them on this external drive because I need to back them up and da, 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 da. I was so overwhelmed. And I thought, I cannot be the only one that feels so overwhelmed and stressed out by this. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just decide, well, I'm gonna do what I can for the moment because I've got a graduation coming up or a memorial coming up, right? I'm going to take care of what I need right now.
Which is not the way to do it, right? I mean, I've run into many cases where you know, people reach out to me and they go, I need to have all my photo albums scanned because Aunt Betty died and her funeral's Friday.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Right. First of all, you're not going to get it done. You're not going to even know what's there and everything else. But
it's usually
those kind of life-changing events, that, like a fire or an earthquake or a tornado or a tsunami or something that gets people to think like this.
You know, so the idea that there are so many options, you can Google anything, you know, you can find anything, but are they the right options for you? Right. Are they updated? The software that is recommended, does it make sense? What if you decide to download some software and rename all your files and now you've inadvertently stripped the metadata or...
And what is metadata? If you do that, you may not even know why that's important, if it's important at all, right?
Absolutely. And so I think when I started looking into it for myself, I thought, wow, there's so many different facets to this. Mm-hmm. And it was really important to me to do it right.
Right.
And I realized that the business need was twofold. One is because with all the climate change and everything going on and just how we've entered this digital age in such a fast, rapid, powerful way.
Sure.
People that had print photos are worried they're going to lose them and don't know how to convert those, if you will, to these digital files. Sure. And then it's the people that have this overwhelm of digital files and don't know what to do. So I thought maybe I can help people so that they don't, one, experience that same anxiety I did, and I can help them find this pathway so that they can get all their photos organized so they're ready when they do have a loss or something to celebrate.
I'm really curious about your background because I'm looking at the you know, geographic systems and, you know, it seems, I mean, what's amazing to me is I actually see a corollary, where, you know, that's a very detail oriented, I imagine. I know nothing about it, but it just sounds like it's a very detail oriented, very lot of categorization, a lot of, you know, systems and processes in place to keep track of things. So do you think that played a part in your interest in this? Is sort of, you know, you were kind of wired that way.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Photo retailers, energize your sales with ShareMe Chat, the proven texting platform. Using chat to text on your website keeps your customers connected and buying. See us at Pro and IPI to find out why dealers using ShareMe Chat close more sales without adding staff. Find out more at shareme.chat.
Yeah, you know what? It's you're very intuitive, Gary, because I never really made that connection. In fact, I think I make a joke saying, you know, I got these degrees in geographic information systems and here I am running a business for photo organizing. And I guess I never really thought about the correlation, but you're absolutely right. The interesting thing is I was actually an information systems major initially, and I took a geography course and I love visiting national parks. I love, you know, geography and history. I've just always been fascinated by it. So geographic information systems gave me this opportunity to merge these two things that I enjoy. And so I think you're right. I love solving problems. I love the technology behind it. I love kind of figuring out the puzzle, and that's really what we're doing, but we're marrying that with, a, you know, real life photos and real life emotions. And, you know, Gary, I can't tell you how many times we work with clients all over the country. Although our corporate office is here in San Diego, about 50% of our clients are all over the country, which is very flattering to know that people want to work with us. But I can't tell you how many times we've had people in the office and we have tissues at every corner of our office because photos are powerful. These memories evoke so much emotion. And we've got people who, you know, stash these photos away in boxes for months or years, trying to avoid some pain or a story. And there's truly a psychology behind that. I mean, it's so meaningful and powerful. So I think there's things that have come out of creating this business that I never even knew were possible.
So let's talk about the creating the business piece, right? You know, you've got a corporate office, you've got half a dozen so employees. You didn't start that way, right? So when you started out, obviously you looked for some resources and maybe connected with the Apo folks who were the Apo at the time and looked at the business side of it. And I want you to talk about that. But also, I know a lot of photo organizers who don't have storefronts, right? They're home-based or whatever. And, but, you know, there's a few, you know, that I've talked to over the years who have actually got into storefronts and things like that. What was that process like? I mean, because you realize that you can't do it all yourself. You need some help. You need to expand. And that's kind of a leap.
Yeah, it. I feel like this should be over a glass of whiskey because that was a big, that was a big transition. Certainly, again, wasn't even my vision to start a business initially. So I did start out of my home. Had a real small 100 square foot, you know, home office. Sure. Brought in, you know, some college kids that I knew to help with some scanning and figuring it out. And at the time, I think I always thought that it was going to be bigger than that, because anybody that knows me knows that's just kind of how I am. You know, I don't believe sky's the limit. I reach for the stars. I knew that I wanted to, that's right. And I knew, I always knew I wanted to do something that was bigger than, you know, what some people would envision. I wanted to help more people. I wanted to grow something that had some meaning behind it. But I think with my background in both the military and in information systems, I'm very process oriented and I'm very systems oriented, right? So if you ask my team, we have flow charts and training and checklists and backup systems. And we've even got a Google Classroom training for all of our, you know, new team members. And I wanted to make sure, because everybody's journey is so different and because the inventory they're bringing to the table is unique and the way that they want their photos organized and accessed sometimes is unique, we needed to make sure, and I needed to make sure that we had a plan for that.
Right.
I recognize that people's photos are so powerful, that they are so one of a kind, that they are irreplaceable. And I wanted to make sure to preserve those in the best way I could. And the only way that I could figure out to do that is to create these systems and processes. And the only way I could do that is to have a team working with me to make sure that happens.
Right. I mean, chart for me, because you're a geography person, chart for me the path, if you will, you know, kind of in your home, how fast was that path where you went from 100 square feet with a couple college kids to 1400 square feet with six employees with a pandemic in between?
Right. That was a fun little blip that I wasn't expecting. None of us were, of course. So I would say if I had, you know, my brain trying to kind of wrap my head around the timeline, it took a little bit to get started because I wanted to make sure this was the path I wanted. And I did seek out assistance from what was formerly the Association of Personal Photo Organizers, APO, to what's now the Photo Managers, founded by Kathy Nelson. And I started— Shout out, Kathy. We love Kathy. We really do. And now I'm on the advisory board and she and I connect regularly and it's a lot of fun. But I wanted to acquire as much information as I could. So for the first, you know, year, that's what I was doing, is just trying to understand and understand what's going on in the industry, because I couldn't help anybody if I couldn't even organize my own photos.
Right. And I'm just curious, how big was your collection, do you think?
Oh, it was one of the bigger ones. Yeah. Right. Because like many people, it was, you know, all of my personal photos. It was all my parents' photos. You know, I've got many siblings, and that was my grandfather's. I was the memory keeper and am, so not surprisingly, the memory keeper in our family. Right. And so I'd inherit everything. So we had generations going back, you know, 150 years. Yeah. So it was a very large collection, and I didn't jump into all of it at once. But and then I spent probably a year or two in my home office, where I was, you know, kind of slowly marketing and getting some clients and visiting them in their home, which was wonderful. And I actually miss that. It's really fun to connect. And we've just gotten bigger and can't do that quite as much. And then the fire was 2014, June 2014. And then it was probably a year before I even, you know, thought about quitting my corporate job and kind of thinking that over, and then a couple years at home. And then we got the corporate, we got the brick and mortar in August of 2018, and I had one employee. So we had this huge 1400 square feet. But again, that was my vision, is that we were going to grow. Now we're busting at the seams. I don't have room for anybody else, but it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it took a few years for us to get to that point. And with the pandemic and just how life works in general, there were times we had more employees and less, and it's cyclical as we try and figure it out before we finally got to a place where I feel like we're really stable.
So talk a little bit about the cyclical piece, right? Because I do run into that when I talk to people who are in this business, right? And it's interesting, because there's always people who think, how much stuff should there be for scan? And it's like, no, you don't realize there's trillions of stuff out there. We're never going to get through it all. So getting back to the cyclical piece, you know, do you see that with your business? Because I mean, traditionally, photo, whatever, and I'm doing air quotes for those who can't see, you know, is a fourth quarter type thing, right? Where it's, you know, for holidays or whatever. Do you experience that in the photo organizing space as well? That people like, I need to get grandma's photos and make a scrapbook for her for Christmas. Do you see that?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we don't make scrapbooks, but yes, I do.
Well, I mean, I know, but that's kind of what their thinking is, right?
Yeah, we do have, you know, when I've looked back at the years that we've been doing this, we can kind of start to see a pattern. And Q4 for us is absolutely the busiest time. It's, in fact, I give my team off between Christmas and New Year's. We just shut the entire office down to give everybody a break.
Right.
Because people are, you know, I want to get this done. It's one of those things that we wait decades. I'll get to it someday, right? I'll get to it someday. And then when they get this light bulb of, wow, there's somebody that can help me and I can actually get this done. And now it becomes a priority, which I love. And it's wonderful. So We do notice that Q4 where people want to get that done for the holidays. Sure. The summers sometimes are a little bit slower, I think, because people are on vacations. Right. Because we've created more of a presence throughout the country right. now, we keep pretty busy throughout the year. Mm-hmm. But historically, and it's when the kids go back to school and parents think, you know, that have kids at home still think, wow, you know, the kids are back. Let me start organizing some of their school things and school memorabilia. And they realize this is just daunting.
Right. Do you have a reasonable percentage of customers who maybe start the process and realize, oh my gosh, this is too much for me. I need help. And then you've got this sort of thing that's already been started dropped on your counter.
Yes. Unfortunately, we do. I say that because, of course, we'd love to help clients regardless of right. where their photo collection stands. But in fact, we just started working with a client a few weeks ago who called me and said, I have spent 20 to 30 hours trying to organize my digital photos for my boys, and I'm going to lose my mind. She said, I have tried to, you know, do online classes. I've tried to transfer things. I don't know. Now at this point, I've got multiple duplicates, you know, and from the collection she has, we probably could have gotten the entire thing organized, every file renamed, duplicates removed, cleaned up the cat memes and the screenshots and created a storage in probably less than 20 hours.
Right.
So absolutely. We've got people who, try and do that on their own. And again, I want to empower people to do that. I would encourage you to give us a call first and let's plan right. If you want to do part of that on your own. We've actually had people that have also sent their photos into sometimes some big box companies. You know, I don't want to downplay any other photo organizing companies. There's different companies that are suitable for different people.
Sure.
What happens sometimes is people will think, again, kind of not having that education, understand what they need. They'll take all their print photos, you know, they'll take them all and they'll ship them off to somebody to get them scanned, but they're not organized first. And so what they find is they've satisfied part one, which is preserving their photos, but they can't find any of them because just right. having them scanned with no context, right, is not, it doesn't do any good. So then we get these previously scanned photos and need to go through and assign keywords and date them and sometimes rescan them. So mm-hmm. it does happen, of course, but that's kind of part of the industry.
Yeah. Obviously this is in a lot of people's, even though you and I would consider it a must have, it is almost a luxury, right? In the sense of if you can, you know, a lot of it's a premium service in the sense that, you know, you're going to pay a professional to do this. So not to get specific into your exact price, but I was just curious how you decided kind of what was fair. What was the resources you figured out to say, okay, was it like per hour? Was it per tens of thousands of pictures? Was it by videos? Was it by slides? Or, you know, or how do you factor in the organizing piece on top of that? And, you know, obviously, since you're a very process oriented person, you probably had, like you said, workflows, work charts, you kind of figured, okay, this is the throughput.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious what that thought process was from the business side of it.
Sure. Sure. You know, I will say in working with a number of other colleagues around the country and really around the world, because there's photo organizers all around the world now, which is exciting. This topic is difficult. And I would say that it's particularly difficult for the photo organizing industry because there's not really a benchmark, right? If you're going to hire somebody to remodel your bathroom and they said, okay, it's going to be, you know, $20,000 to $30,000, depending on what you wanted, you might say, well, that makes sense. You know, you got the plumbing, you got the contractors. I know that that's sure. what it costs. If I was going to ask somebody to get my, you know, to color my hair and they said it's $100 or $200, I'd say, okay, that's reasonable. You know, we've got a benchmark. What I find is because so many people don't even know that there's professional photo organizers out there
right.
that they are often surprised by the cost, and not because they don't think the value's there. And I hear that all the time. Oh, if this is so worth it, I get it. They're just a little surprised because it's an investment.
Yeah.
It is a financial investment. And, you know, what I like to explain to people is this is decades of creating this journey, of creating these photos and the memorabilia and the videos. It's decades of creating it. So it's going to take, not decades, but it's going to take a little time to get organized.
Sure.
And to satisfy what clients want. And so I am always looking at different ways to try and find that spot where I can make sure my team is taken care of. I really value my team members tremendously. And right. I want them to be taken care of. But of course, I want our clients to feel like they're getting the value.
Right.
So the way that we bill currently is our services are typically billed hourly. Mm-hmm. And then things like conversions and transfers, like digitizing mm-hmm. or transfer home movies. We digitize print photos, memorabilia, slides, negatives, et cetera. We can quantify that a little bit easier through some data analysis, right? So we can do that per item.
So are you doing it all of that in-house?
Yeah. Everything happens here. Nobody takes anything home. Nobody works remotely. It's something I really pride ourselves on is that I think it's difficult enough for clients to feel comfortable to hand these mm-hmm. precious memories off to us.
Oh, I don't want exactly.
that they're going somewhere else. There are a couple of things that we do outsource, but we always let the clients know and get their permission before we do
right.
that. But that's why I think one thing that makes 2000 Paces Photo Organizing unique is that we don't just focus on print or digitizing or digital or videos. We really try and be a one-stop shop so
sure.
that clients can consistently come back. So we have a number of clients on a monthly maintenance plan. So when we're done
right.
organizing their photos, we continue organizing them, the mm-hmm. photos they take on their phone on a monthly basis.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because I remember that was sort of starting to become a thing yeah. with Apo/photo managers about, gosh, I don't know, what, about 6-8 years ago, they started talking about sort of the maintenance plan, right?
Yeah.
You know, where you go in and you get to look at people's, I don't know whether they put them into Google Photos or what, I mean, whatever online, then they kind of call them. And like you said, and it's consistent with what their historical images are. Like you said, the keywording and all that stuff is super important.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the idea in a nutshell is, and again, everybody's situation is a little unique, but we have to have some kind of standardization, right? And that's difficult right. to do when there's so much variability.
Right.
But the idea is that once we create this foundational archive, if you will, of mm-hmm. their photos, then every month as they're taking more, we access their digital photos, we download them, we rename mm-hmm. them up, facial recognition, and we put them onto whatever their online storage is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just got these kind of magic elves working behind the scenes. and you know, what I like to say is I want you to focus on making the memories. Let us worry about organizing them.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit for a few minutes about kind of like the technology platforms you use, right? Because there's a lot out there, right? There's a lot of partnerships out there. There's a lot of people who say they can do some things. A lot of people trying to apply a lot of AI to some of this stuff, and whether they're successful or not, we'll find out. You know, kind of like, how did you, who are kind of your technology partners that you work with, and why did you pick them?
Sure. So I, you know, Gary, one thing I will say is I made a commitment to myself and the company that we were never going to be myopic in the technology that we're working with. We're not going to work with somebody because we get a kickback or a deal. And we're also not going to employ just one system. And I know some people like to do that. You can do everything in this system. I think that causes problems. It's one of the reasons that I don't always recommend that people store their photos in an Apple ecosystem on iCloud, because it is so proprietary. And it's really important to me. One of the biggest things that I share with our clients is I don't want your photos to be held hostage. I wouldn't want mine to be held hostage. I want you to be able to access them, change them, modify them as you can. So
sure.
When we use all the technology, we provide clients with an external hard drive that's formatted for both a Mac and a PC, unless they want it for a specific operating system. And it's organized in a native file system. So it's not dependent on any proprietary software. You don't have to worry about updates. Now, in addition to that, of course, we'll back it up on something else. But some of the technology, I mean, we use everything from, we'll use Adobe Lightroom, of course, for facial recognition. We use a number of other programs that we use one program to find duplicates. We have two different programs to find duplicates. Mm-hmm.
Plug.
Want me to tell you?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Absolutely. I want to know.
But one of the ones we use is Photo Sweeper, and I think it's absolutely one of the best out there.
Okay.
They're phenomenal. We're testing out a couple others, so I don't want to say anything quite yet, but Photo Sweeper is not always great at finding the videos. There's a number of, you know, the videos, because we're all taking these little snippet videos now instead of just the photos. So that's part of the whole organization. We use a Better Finder Rename. For renaming, right?
Thumbs up for that one. I do use that.
Oh, love it. I don't know how anybody organizes without a Better Finder Rename. They are by far my favorite program to rename and categorize. We'll use a Big Mean Folder Machine to pull photos out if we need to. You know, we have Photo Mechanic to assign EXIF data at times and for various other things. We have a number of Lightroom plugins and scripts, Apple scripts that we write. Or have been written for us to try and apply.
Sure.
So we kind of take a little bit of this and that. Mm-hmm. And then for storage, for backup and storage, often SmugMug is kind of our go-to for a number of different reasons. We really like working with them. We like what they provide. I like their privacy aspect. I like that they're only focused on photos and that we don't have to worry about ads and things like that. We're also partnered with a company called Image AI. It's a San Diego-based company. They're all over the world, and they provide, there's where your AI comes in, AI specifically for photos.
Mm-hmm.
We've been testing out their software, and it's been incredible. It's just, that's where we're heading, but we want to do it ethically, and we want to do it correctly, as accurately as we possibly can. So,
right. Yeah, and AI is great. I mean, but it's not perfect. Yeah.
We're not there. No,
it's not. I mean, it's a great tool, but it's not perfect. Okay. I got into the business thing, and now I'm running the business thing. What is your objective with your business? You've kind of got this national clientele going. What are your thoughts about the future of your business and the industry, really?
Well, the future of the industry, I think we're just at the precipice of something phenomenal. And I think with all the digital overwhelm and all the print photos and things we're inheriting as the baby boomer generation, our largest population is unfortunately passing away. We're inheriting everything. And we're taking more photos than we ever have because it's so easy on our phones.
Right.
But the need for professional organizers is, I think, more necessary than ever. I think there's so many resources out there, right? That it kind of goes back to why I felt like creating this business was important, having somebody who can kind of guide you through this chaos of what's going on. And there's a lot of really good people out there that I work with that can do that. So I think the photo organizing industry, absolutely. I mean, you see the money and the companies that are getting involved and wanting to partner. This is absolutely, I think, in the next 3 to 5 years, just going to be a common industry that people just know exists.
Mm-hmm.
For myself, I love being on the forefront of what's happening in photo organizing. Our team works really hard to provide the best service. We like to, we've been called the Tiffany's of photo organizing. I always like to tell people, I know, so bougie, but.
Does anyone still get that reference anymore though?
Right. What's that? Will anybody get it?
Well, the Tiffany reference, right? It's not what it used to be in terms of, I'm not sure what the high-end brand is these days, but.
Yeah, that's a great point. But the Tiffany's aspect is that we do set the bar high, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our clients.
You deliver the hard drive in a blue box is the question.
Right. It's not blue, it's black, but it's a protective box. That's a great point. But I like to say that we marry sort of that Tiffany's with an intimate bed and breakfast, because personally, I speak with everybody. I would say 90% of the people who are inquiring into our business and talk to them. It's why we offer a free consultation, because I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know us. I want you to know what right. it is we're providing. Right. So as far as where I'd like to see 2000 Paces go, I just want to continue to help people. I want to continue to be mm-hmm. on the forefront of what's happening. I'd love for people to recognize us as a leader in the industry and in what we're trying to provide. And most importantly, I can't stress it enough that when we get emails or text messages or calls from clients that because they simply wanted to say, I just gave this gift to my adult children and there were tears, or we just watched the video again that you created or converted. And they're, you know, a year after we've worked with them, or they come back to, I had a client last week that brought her friend up here with boxes and boxes of photos and said, I want you to help her the same way you helped me.
Right.
It's powerful and it's rewarding. And I want to continue to do that for as many people as we can.
So where can people go to get more information about 2000 Paces for Photo Organizing and geospatial stuff?
Well, I can't help with that anymore. Despite the education, I'm far from it. But in fact, my husband would say I have no sense of direction, and it's ironic that I have a degree in geography. But 2000paces.com. So it's 2000paces.com. And of course we're, I'm on LinkedIn and we have a business LinkedIn and, on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook. And, right on our website, there's an opportunity to click for a consultation. If anybody's just interested in chatting, whether it's for your own personal collection or a family member's, or if you're even thinking about starting a business like this, I love to encourage people. There's so many people out there that need help that I love to share.
And we may as well plug the Photo Managers Conference while we're here, if you can, because yes. you'll be there, right? So tell us,
I will.
Where is that and when is it?
Yeah, so the Photo Managers, again, I'm on the advisory board, and it's going to be April, I think, 2nd to the 6th. Mm-hmm. You can go to thephotomanagers.com. Or you can reach out to me and I can connect you. It's in Columbus, Ohio this year. We do have a conference every year. I think that surprises people. And we have photo organized from all over the world, South Africa, Australia, England, Brazil, Scotland. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, I think there's going to be some really exciting keynote speakers this year. Mm-hmm. And they have breakout sessions and courses, and there's a whole certificate program. So it really is very, very exciting.
Well, great, Rachel. Great to meet you. Hope to connect with you in the future, maybe in person. We did actually meet in person at the Visual First event, but but now we're chatting and hope to see you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Pixel Society podcast. Read more great stories and sign up for the newsletter at www.thedeadpixelssociety.com.